from the creators of The Shape. CCC Entertainment Group presents a nostalgic fan film series. Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Fred Krueger, and many other iconic horror icons from the 80s and 90s converge in a universe we've all been waiting for. The Horrorverse, Season 1. Available now on YouTube. Awaken the darkness.
Welcome to Around the Reel with your hosts, Aaron Carlson, Charles Lawson, and Samantha Hanna. Ah, shit. Here we go again.
Check one. Check, check two. Check, check three.
Check, check.
Are you saying check or chuck?
How many checks?
I always say check. How many checks could a chuck check?
Yes.
If a chuck could check, check?
A there's a lot more checks than there are chucks.
Yeah. Check.
Check, chuck.
Check, chuck. I don't do hockey.
Cool,
I don't play hockey even though I'm white.
Yeah. 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 What'd you say, Chase? I'm sorry.
No, it was like every time somebody talks like a different background, I like the setup that I just seen with the Michael Myers mask and
oh yeah,
that was really cool.
Yeah, that's at Chuck's place. Do you have your screen set so you can see all of us at once, or is it kind of bouncing?
No,
swipe across on your phone, you'll probably see all of us.
Oh, nobody ever taught me that.
No
that
shit.
How about that?
Well, now you can see yourself in
1999. Cool.
Right. It felt like 1999.
Yeah. Yep. And the only reason I knew you were on the phone because you sent me that picture. So thank you. I appreciate it because then I know what's going on. And sometimes it does that on the phones. Usually you can click the link. You just put you right in the lobby. But whatever. I don't give a
fuck. Yeah.
It is what it is.
You're here anyway. So.
Yes. Yes.
Just like been all a long us, time
Zoom
coming.
Is not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom, yeah, no, Zoom is not perfect.
You know, StreamYard isn't either.
Nothing is perfect.
What about?
You owe me a Coke.
What about?
I think my experience with StreamYard, and I don't know if this is something that you guys might experience. I clicked on the wrong room chat, and there was some kind of orgy going on.
No shit. Oh, badass, dude. Dude, that's cool.
I was like. I entered the wrong room. It was so weird.
It was like Vampire Podcast, Movies and Beyond. You gotta step up the game.
That's fucking hilarious, James.
Oh my
I love
gosh,
it.
That's funny.
I was late for a meeting because I was having trouble like this, and then I clicked it in the wrong room, and I was like,
awkward.
It was very, very awkward.
That's so funny.
Honey.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
That wasn't our experience with StreamYard, but I kind of wish it was because it's kind of
that would be way better.
Well, I don't think you wanted to enter that.
Oh,
room.
Not that one. That was, oh, okay.
No.
Well, I still felt like I was getting fucked with our experience with StreamYard as a company.
Yeah, I couldn't unsee that. I told my wife, I was like, yeah, I'm uninstalling this because I told her what I watched and she laughed. I'm like, it wasn't funny.
He said it's not funny at all.
Was she laughing?
It wasn't funny. Yeah, she was laughing.
I bet
like,
she was.
I guess she thought I was kidding. I don't know. I was like, that wasn't funny. That's not something I want to walk in on ever again.
That's crazy stuff.
That's so funny.
That would never happen to me. I'd get lucky and end up in Chuck's like, private room or something.
What are you guys like, doing? Oh, it's like a group masturbation meeting?
You know what I'm saying?
That's terrible, like, but I'm sure
like
they have them.
Do anything.
Right. excuse me.
It's too funny, man. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I swear
that's funny.
This happened. Like, I can't unsee that. I can't even make that up.
I bet.
No.
I bet. Well, now I'm really not getting StreamYard again.
I know.
And then, like, the crazy thing, because, like, for me seeing that last interview, I wasn't doing pretty good because it was kind of like, saw that. They're like, Chase.
You're like, did I really see that? Or.
You all right, bro? You're like, I don't know. Just give me a minute.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean. Yeah, it was nothing I've ever seen before.
That's
back.
An experience.
Dude, that's
that
really
is an
funny.
Experience.
Wow.
That's funny. Well, it's been a long time coming for us trying to get you on the show. I know I was trying for a while and
no pun intended.
It just
right? It's beautiful.
I'm sorry.
Beautiful thing.
Here's Sam walking right into that
I
one.
Walked yep. right into it.
Straight into it.
It's just like a sim.
Oh, that's terrible. I didn't mean to, though.
Yeah, we've been meaning
to. I need to get serious. I don't need to get canceled.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, right. No. No one's going to cancel
no.
you.
No, because like, it's weird because since my social media following has been really, really, really high, people get
you
so...
You get weirdos, right?
Oh, my God. Like, okay.
Break it down,
the comments about Kirsten Dunst. Granted, she's about 7 months older than me. We were talking about the movie Small Soldiers, and I admit it, this is where she was kind of seasoning to where she became my crush. And somebody screenshotted that, sent it to my wife, was like, just so you know, this is to your husband.
Oh my.
Implying that I'm talking about a child, and I'm like, Kirsten Dunst is 6 months older than me.
Oh my God. I would have responded back like, well, I hope so.
Right. Now, if I'd have said that being 41 years old and I said that about Millie Bobby Brown,
right,
then granted, I can understand the context. Right. I'm like, dude, I'm just like,
well, no, she's 18 now, isn't she?
Yeah, she might but, be. Close, she's right there.
She is 19, but keyword still 19. She's still a teen.
We all so, old, I'm, Chuck. I'm, okay.
I know, but yeah, I'm 41. I don't want nothing with that. You we're know what all, I mean? But yeah, like,
we're all right there.
Yeah.
And it, even if I was like on the internet, like, oh my God. I mean, even though technically yes, legal age, it would still make me look like Harvey Weinstein.
Correct.
You know, it's like I couldn't
daughters,
do any
Chuck. Understand?
Yeah,
that.
But, yeah, because I have a 13-year-old daughter.
Same.
So
yeah,
we have a 13-year-old daughter.
Yep.
Yeah, I couldn't even possibly think about looking at Millie Bobby Brown. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, totally. I like it. Mature, like women that girls that age would be more obnoxious to me.
I feel bad going to like the bikini baristas nowadays because I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's I some fucked up shit.
I'm a little old for this place.
We talk about that all the time.
I know we do.
It's weird. It's weird.
But they're so happy to see a girl. They're like, oh, hi.
I know. I used to always think to myself, I want to keep my baby off the pole. And now I'm thinking, I don't want her working at a fucking coffee shop. You know what I'm saying?
You got to keep her out of the little box in the random area.
Fuck that.
It's crazy because like now like you can order those and like people are just Facebooking it, doing that. I'm like, wow, what times we're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy. And with daughters, you're like, you got to really like pay attention to what they're doing.
I'd like to introduce Chase Dudley to the show today. And Chase, would you please let the audience know who you are and what you do.
Hi, so I am Chase Dudley. I am a filmmaker. I am a film entrepreneur per se. So I direct. I occasionally act. Of course, I consult. I location scout. I do a little bit of everything because in the indie world, you have these unlimited hats that you have to wear.
Yes, you do.
And really consulting really is majority of what you're doing to get your movie made. You're trying to find people who are trying to you're trying to find like your tribe of people to make this greater good of a product called a movie. And you meet a lot of very interesting characters, including myself. But it's the insanity that we sign up for that we can, like, it's a calling. It's like when nature calls.
Yeah.
We don't know why we do it. We just do it. We're like in sync. I don't understand.
Yeah, we've asked.
Well, let me just say, welcome to Around the Reel.
Thank you, Chuck. Yes, welcome to our show. even though we've been on the show for a while. But yeah, man. Like Sam was saying, we've been wanting to talk to you for a very long time. We've been watching what you do, and
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and the growth that you've created. I was just looking at your Facebook the other day too, and I was just like, holy shit, look at all the followers this guy's got. He's not fucking around on Facebook. I thought I was like doing well, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, he's got like over 120,000 views. That's fucking great. Wow.
Yeah, it's like 133 now. I think
133,001.
Yeah, I don't know how that really happened. That was not something I planned, although I'm very, very blessed. Because it is very interesting of talking your favorite movie talks and just definitely just a lot of interesting point of views that, you know, of course, you always wonder. And because I always just share movies and stuff that I really like to watch, and just a lot of people just started really engaging. And then people was like, "Oh, I didn't even realize you was a filmmaker," and I was like, "Wow, yeah, yeah, I should probably promote that more." But I really like watching movies, TV shows. I love art, man. I can't get enough of it. I can like, as long as I can remember, man, it's just watching movies. I was that weird kid that never wanted to go outside as a kid. And I just watched movies all day and memorized them. And I was the kind of kid that everyone was like, he's really weird. He just watched movies and called them all day.
I'm kind of it
was like, I was, it was kind of like, I was kind of like Jim Carrey and the Cable Guy in a sense.
I gotcha.
It's like how sad things.
A giant sponge bringing everything in, and thought that was your life.
Yeah, like I thought that was cool, but not a lot of people didn't think so much.
Well, it gives you a chance to start acting young when you're acting out everything that you watched.
Yes. Yeah. And that's all I did growing up. Like, and I made myself laugh. But like now, like I do it on social media and Facebook Live. People just started to really enjoy it, so it's kind of like I was hoping that was the case when I was younger. But you know, I just was so like very socially awkward. Like Jim Carrey said in the Cable Guy, I learned the facts of life by watching the facts of life.
Well, that's good because the facts of life are all about you.
Yeah.
If you remember the song.
I do remember the song.
No, that was really cool.
We're all nerds here.
Yeah, we welcome. Are.
No,
we
I love it. That was some of the, you know, things like definitely watching movies with people who really was very knowledgeable about movies and stuff like that. We just sit there and just eat stuff up like that. And that's the kind of people I love talking to. Because that's my tribe of people, and just knowing that I'm not alone in that, you know, I used to feel like I was alone because I couldn't find you guys when we was little. There was no social media, nothing like that. But like now, I'm like, maybe it wasn't so weird.
Exactly. So how did you get into the art then? Like, how did that happen?
Well, we was, I mean, very poor. My mom was, you know, single mom of three. Before I got my camcorder, I used to record like the tapes, and we just used to do voice work. So I was probably a voice actor before I was on a camera. And that's how me and my cousins, we used to do characters and stuff like that. And we all sit there and listen. And I finally got my camera at 15 years old. And, you know, I used to bring it to school and just record stuff and try to get my friends to be in my movies, and nobody wanted to do any of that. So like it came to the point where I had to start finding creative ways to, you know, do movies. You know, like, and that probably sounded really weird, but no, like it was like I had like do like what Steven Spielberg did, where he like would make cars and like fake like hills as mountains and stuff like that. And I rarely used any live action, so I was kind of almost like anime, but like not really, because I didn't have an editing software. So it was like I had to do really weird stuff to make a movie.
I got you. Okay.
So when you said, do you mean like stop action, or do you mean more like an anime?
Yeah, stop action. Yeah, stop action. Okay. Like toys to make them look like real live people and stuff like that. My friends, they wanted to do normal teenage stuff. Let's go to a party, man, and get drunk. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I want to go make a movie. Like and you know, like and then like Derby, because I live in Kentucky. And they have this thing called Derby every year. It comes every May. And I used to record a lot of that stuff. And then, like, I used to get in trouble because women would do the weirdest things. Like, when they're drunk and they have unconscious and stuff like that. And one time my mom found all my tapes. She's like, what is that? So I'm like, oh, it's just recording, like, just going and walking up and down. Because once I got my camcorder, I just recorded everything. Like,
stuff.
I mean, yeah, like, because it was just me and my camera. So I just try to find stuff to record. And then I met somebody in school named Dave Rogers, and he was into that kind of stuff. And we loved the Scream movies. So we used to like make little short films where we'll kill off his little sister and and we used to do all kinds of stuff, and like, of course those tapes are burned now, but you know, I made my first movie though kind of late, because I kind of gave up on it for a while. I went into pro wrestling. I wrestled for OVW in majority of my 20s, because back then was no social media, there was no Facebook. I didn't join MySpace until like 2007. Somebody was like, "Yeah, why don't you just get MySpace?" And I'm like, "What is MySpace?" And like, MySpace. Like, but what is it? And then I was like, "There's," like, I was so oblivious because I'd never got on the computer. Like, they're like, "Dude, you can, like, it's like a platform. You can get on, you can talk to people." I'm like, that's a thing. I used to go into the AOL chat rooms and. Yeah, you get roasted real quick in there.
I forgot about those.
That was the rudest room you could ever go in. Right. Like, today's social media would never survive in the AOL chat room.
They were brutal back then. They were brutal.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep.
It ranks right up there with comedy back then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, when it was funny.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's unfortunate, because it's like now you can't say a joke without it being personal, and the whole point of a joke is not to be personal. It's
hence the word joke.
Because I don't know how we got there, because that's naturally my personality, and I really have to watch what I say to people, because naturally I'm a jokester. That's like one of the first things I would naturally do. Because I grew up in that era, you got on a bus and you sat down, you either joked or you got joked on.
Exactly. Yes, you did.
That was the era that I grew up in, and it was like, you know, your mama jokes, and mm-hmm. you know, like, it wasn't a hostile environment to where you say that noun and it's like you're all of a sudden you're, you know, this and this, and so many labels that you're like, wow, you only know me for like 2 minutes. And it's like, now people, they talk to you for 30 seconds and they, like, they know your whole life story.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a different place, man. I was watching Blazing Saddles not too long ago, and
oh my God,
I know. And within the first 6 minutes I had to make a post about it, like, this shit would never ever be made.
Never get made.
Never, ever.
Horrible bosses. We're the Millers.
Yeah.
You know, and the crazy thing is like, just to know that Family Guy was only like a decade ago.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Because Family Guy, they did not hold back.
Not at all.
And like, they said jokes where, you know, people looked at me and they're like, wow, you're not offended. I'm like, no, it's a joke. Like,
right.
You know, like,
they're making like
Family Guy, King of the Hill. I mean, everybody has exactly. their own genre of different comedy. That was all there.
Family Guy was really like, whoa. Like that episode the day after Lincoln freed the slaves, and then like their guy's grass was high, and they were like, hey, your grass need cut. He's like, yeah, I had a guy for that. And it's like, that could never fly today.
No, it couldn't.
But it's like, funny. Yes, we all know that that was a horrible time, but just the irony of that line, it's like, come on. That does not mean that that person is racist, or, you know, and it's like we say words with very little meaning today, where it's just, I don't know, like,
it's desensitized.
We can't say anything spot. Without it. It's like you feel like in a giant timeout chair. Like, I feel like I'm in detention all day.
All day long.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people, I think people forget that healing comes from comedy. And laughing about, if you're able to laugh about this serious shit, and you're able to laugh about it, you're getting through it. I don't care who you are. You're getting through it.
Yeah.
And so people forget that. That's a good way to deal with things and hard things that suck.
If I could not laugh at my childhood of being, you know, very, very poor to the point where, you know, like, I mean, I couldn't even, like, describe this, I mean, what it was like for a mom of three boys, you know?
Let me ask you a question. Did you get to go to McDonald's at the first of the month like I did?
No.
Okay, I got that. My mom would get that welfare check. She would get that welfare check, and I could go to McDonald's.
No, see, my mom never, she never applied for that. She was a very proud lady.
Oh, my goodness. Man,
my mom didn't give a fuck.
You know, you know, you know what it was? You know what it was? She was like, I was like, I want a McDonald's burger. I can make a McDonald's burger.
And oh, just like Eddie Murphy.
Basically, a hamburger
that sounds like you, Aaron.
He's like, yeah, Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
He's directly, right. No, it's exactly what it is. Yeah. And I'm not exaggerating.
Uh-huh. That is like a McDonald's hamburger.
It's a welfare burger.
True. That was exactly how my mom thought. Mm-hmm. You know, like anything you said, they asked if you had that kind of money. Hey, mom, it's peanut butter and jelly. You got some peanut butter and jelly money? Like,
I get it.
Right?
But that is true, though. But that's what makes it so funny, because it's universal.
Right.
It is universal.
Right. And everyone knows what that's like. Mm-hmm. That's our age. Mm-hmm. Like, even, I don't care what race you are. My mom said that same shit.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I know. See, like, and, it don't
you
matter.
Know, you know what, though? And that's why I like George Carlin as a comedian, because he focused on some of those similarities that we all have.
Right.
Yes, I mean, like, because being poor is not a racial problem.
No, not at all.
Poor don't give a fuck.
That is a 2/3 of most, the you know, population. Like, that's just how it is.
It is.
The cost of living keeps going up, and it's like different things. Like, mm-hmm. And, you know, like, because me, growing up and all of my friends, you know, being white, and I go over their house and like how their parents talk, and I was like country people, and then like me seeing how some of my ghetto uncle and aunts were, and I'm like, y'all are more similar than y'all think.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? There is more similarities.
Fuck yeah.
There's more similarities than there are differences, and that's what people don't. They focus so much on the differences that they don't realize there's more similarities than differences.
Right. Yep. It's crazy. I kind of grew up like you, Chase. It's kind of the same. You know, I went to all white school.
He got McDonald's,
too.
Though.
I did get McDonald's.
He got McDonald's.
Once a month, I got McDonald's.
Growing up, the only time I'd gone to McDonald's was at their church when my Aunt Ella gave us a $5 bill.
She gave me and my brothers
$5, and we cashed that in because that was the only money we ever saved.
Yeah, bro.
And you're like, and we're going to McDonald's.
You could tear some shit up and get off for $5 back in the day, dude.
Oh my God, back then, dude, you can get a Big Mac. And this was a super size fry.
Yeah, and a milkshake.
And a shake.
And they filled, the fries all the way up.
All the way.
Right?
All the way. Like, yeah. Sure. It, like, now it
those were the days. Now you can't get out of there without spending like $50.
Fucking McDonald's, bro. No. Mickey D's is not Mickey D's no more.
Not anymore.
It's a fucking high-class restaurant.
It's still the same shit food. It's just popcorn. I know.
It's like fucking Demolition Man. Welcome to Taco Bell.
It's exactly.
I have to disagree with you, because growing up, to me, I feel like I remember McDonald's being much tastier.
I do. Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
It might have been the styrofoam, bro.
Yeah, the styrofoam has this flavor.
Yeah.
It gives this,
whatever
this,
it was.
When you get the burger and the styrofoam was melting, I mean, that was a good fucking burger. Right? Just eating through that shit. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Well, remember, they had to make everything, you know, gluten-free and, you know, all these things to make sure that everybody who wants to cancel the planet could make everything more flavorful. However, let me be the first one to tell you all you people, all those people who still think that McDonald's fries are really good, you know why that is? It's because they do them in beef broth.
Salt.
That's why the fries taste so good. So everybody who thinks that they're vegetarian and they're just getting the fries...
Stop.
Sorry.
That reminds me of the movie This Is 40, when he was like, "No, we know this, and this." Paul Rudd was like, "What's left?"
I know what's left. What the fuck is left, dude?
That's like something I would
That's
ask.
The best. That's the best. You're right.
One of my favorites.
Yep.
Too funny. Well,
so true.
Okay, so you grow up, you get the knowledge of what it's like not to have a lot. And then you've got this thing inside you.
Well, you're creative.
Like, creative kid, right? So then he wants to move in and try to tell stories, because you watch all these great movies when you're growing up and you loved them so much. So what was the next steps for you? How did you even decide to try this?
Was it Super 8 or?
No, honestly, the movie, when I really decided that I have a love for filmmaking, of course, my favorite movie being Jurassic Park, and you know, Child's Play was another movie. But the movie that really I felt turned my soul on, where I was like, I don't know how it is what they're doing, but this is what I want to do, was Wes Craven's Scream, 1996.
Okay. I'm not seeing that in theater. Wow. Okay.
I was so obsessed with that movie. I used to buy these bear books and write stories, and you know, I was like, man, some way I'm gonna get my big break in the movies. But Scream was
that the movie that really like inspired you?
It really was.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, and it just because that's the, I mean, oh man, I just
the creativity horror back there is crazy.
In the 80s.
Yeah, the
horror in the 80s and the 90s just hit so different.
They sure as fuck do.
Well, yeah. And that's interesting too, because I mean, that shows the, no offense, it shows the age difference, because where yours mm-hmm. was Scream hitting in 96, ours are Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, Friday the 13th. Hitting back in the early 80s because we're 10
fucking
years
old. Well, I don't know if you're necessarily correct because I'm Nightmare on Elm Street 2 and I'm 44.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm
yeah, but you're right. But Sam, you're right in the middle.
You've
got some leeway, Sam. I'm with that. I get the Scream thing though, because it was a very well written, new kind of genre based slasher. It was so different.
And not even the cinematic aspect, just the creep value. Scream was the first movie that really kind of brought you into the real world of what cell phones can go. Somebody can literally be watching you.
Good point.
In the comfort of your own home, and you have no clue.
No clue.
And that's the part where Scream, it opens up, it gets right to the point. And when he was like, so do you have a boyfriend? And she's like, why, you want to ask me out on a date? You have a boyfriend? She's like, no. And he's like, you never told me your name. And she's like, why do you want to know my name? And he's like, because I want to know what I'm looking at. And then the camera zooms in, and she's like, what did you just say? And then you hear the dogs barking.
Yeah.
What did you do when you're in the middle of nowhere and somebody said they're watching you?
They're watching you. And they say something and you know they're actually watching you. Yeah, that's creepy as shit.
Yeah. One of the best lines ever, I'm going to gut you like a fish. I love that.
I like that part, but I like this part. You should never say who's there. Don't you watch every movie? It's like, you might go out and investigate a strange noise or something.
Basically, very meta into what you're watching, but
you are now really, because like, okay, he rung the doorbell. You know someone's watching, and you're like, you know, and she can call the police.
Yeah.
But are you going to make it in time?
Right.
And that brought up a whole different point.
Yeah.
It's a creep factor like that was kind of never really done quite that way before. I get you there.
Yeah. It was Kevin Williamson. Is that who wrote those? I think
he wrote Scream in a single weekend.
Yeah.
And that was such work ethic.
It's brilliant.
Who would have known? That's a 30-year franchise going fresh.
Yeah.
Right.
But he tapped into everybody's...
And so Spyglass screws it up.
Right? He was brilliant by writing that. He tapped into everybody's, like...
Fear.
Yeah. But everybody's knowledge of horror movies in general. So we all have watched the movies that they're talking about. So it just brings you right in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not even just that, but just like you didn't think Drew Barrymore was going to die because everybody knows who Drew Barrymore was at that time.
Fact.
You're like, she's going to have to survive.
Yeah, that's our hero.
But could you imagine the horror of a parent when you pick up the phone and you're calling 911 as you hearing your flesh and blood daughter being stabbed and mutilated on the other end?
Is there a worse scenario?
Brutal.
No, knowing that all happened under your nose.
Yeah.
Right in the fucking backyard.
That was the scary part about it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like in the upkeep with the technology, with them just trying to fit in with the technology that was going on.
I would want to know what kind of cell phone service.
Well,
in the middle of nowhere now, it was
Verizon. They spent
movies are a little bit slower than actual technology, but I felt like because that was actual. Well, I mean, it took us a while to realize our real concerns and what were our real fears.
Yeah.
Until, so when that came out, like, that was like, oh, shit. Like, I'm not the only one that actually thinks, oh, shit, that's scary.
Right.
Like, that's, so it takes a while. I mean, movies are a little behind. A little bit.
And I don't want to downplay Scream. I mean, I love Scream.
I love it more than
the other movie, but the other movie I keep thinking of that goes back to the original thought process of somebody watching you and not knowing where they are when a stranger calls.
I love it. That was really
well done too, because the first words he said was about 45 minutes into the movie, and he said, she's like, what do you want? He's like, your blood
all over me. It's brutal. Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah. Well, I've always been a horror kid my whole life. And my entire life. And I love The Cube. It's one of my favorites. I love The Cube. Mm-hmm. But there are very, very few that can actually scare me. I mean, like, I do not, growing up. Yeah, just it can't scare me. So if something scares me, like, that hits hard for me. And there are very, very few that have ever done that. Very few.
Yeah, no, see, and agree. Very few movies. See, for me, growing up, I was terrified of Freddy.
Yep,
me Michael too. Myers never really bothered me.
It scared me, too.
Not me, really.
Chucky,
I don't know why.
Chucky, I wanted to be Chucky's friend. I never was afraid of Chucky.
I want a buddy like that.
But Freddy terrified me to the point where my mother had to call my aunt and uncle. And because we had this really old tub. And I would not take a bath because I was convinced Freddy was going to take me underwater. Oh, that scene where he yanks down.
Yeah.
So it took everybody to hold me down underwater, and everybody soaked with me because I wasn't going there alone.
Brother,
that's a family right there.
Let me tell you what. I've told the story before. I was 11 years old when I saw that in the theater. My dad took me. And then after we saw it in the theater, I mean, at the end of the movie, you remember the popcorns that you get in the box that you could get in the day? That fucking box was empty, and I had it opened up like fucking binoculars. I was watching the end of fucking like this. So I got through the movie. I get through the movie, brother, and I go home, and he drops me back off at my mom's house. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not afraid. It was a great movie, Mom. But when I went to bed, I couldn't do it. And I went and slept in my mom's room at 11 years old on the floor, and she's calling my dad, cussing him out on the phone. About taking me to go see this shit. Now he's just got to deal with me. I'm crying, crawling under my mom's fucking bed where all the Lay's potato chips are.
But that made a man out of you, though.
It did, dude. It did. So I'm with you with Freddy. Freddy fucking fucked me up.
Yeah, Freddy. And I took our kids to go see The Conjuring, too. They were like six.
Yeah.
They were six. You know.
6 years old?
Bust them.
Yeah.
Get them ready.
Wow. I'm like... And I remember, that part where the guy grabbed, this is my house. My son seriously pissed the movie theater.
Oh, poor guy.
Oh, it's good for him, Sam.
And when the movie was over and we were leaving, of course, as we got home, they were going up the stairs and they couldn't, they couldn't quite see. It was dark, and all of a sudden, I just grabbed them.
You gotta do it. Oh, that's hardcore. Me?
That's the best shit.
Daddy, can I sleep with you?
Nope.
You got to tough this one out, big boy.
It's good for him. It's good for him.
No, we've never shied away our kids from
that. They're not scared of anything now.
No, it works.
No, because I mean, I had to watch everything that my parents watched growing up.
I never had rules. I was never shied from anything, and I literally was not scared of anything. Like I said, Freddy didn't scare me, and I was younger than you guys. I was like five.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. okay, because I have some siblings that are like, oh, my kids don't watch rated R.
Right.
It's nothing. Whatever.
We have family members like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, please tell me what's the difference between them watching Mufasa get killed by his brother versus watching
whatever they're getting on YouTube on their phones.
There's violence. No, I mean, everywhere. There's no matter you what you watch.
You can't shelter them. You can't do it.
Yeah, because, I mean, well, it's of impossible. Course, I mean, you turn it on Looney Tunes and he gets hit in the head with a hammer and he's still running around and then they think that can happen. I mean, and then that's not quite so reality. It's, my point is that there's nothing new under the sun, and however you look at it, the violence is violence.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah, because well, kids, is if you sex, hit somebody in the head with a hammer, they stop moving. If you do it right.
I feel like, though, that the kids that seem to do better with things that are outlandish, like cuss words. I mean, just anything, or violence, or whatever. The kids that do better are always the ones that are never sheltered. Like in our house, like our grandson, he's 2 years old. He's two. And he watches Peepa make the movies, make the horror-verse movies. Yeah. And they're violent. You know, they're Jason and Freddy and Michael and they're
I'm
crazy
I'm
violent.
Proud of my,
yeah, and they,
I'm
and
proud of my two-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is awesome. Yeah. See, I'm proud of my 2-year-old because if I'm wearing a Chucky shirt, he's like Chucky, my little man.
Yeah,
2 years old.
Right,
Michael. And then I wore Jigsaw the other day. He went, "Who's that?" And I'm like, "Jigsaw." So now he knows who Jigsaw is.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
Like, is my boy, because, like, yes. You know, he but when we watch it, he's not scared because he's like, oh, he Chucky.
Yeah.
He's just, it desensitizes
like, my movie room, there's a Chucky doll, there's Jigsaw, there's, I have a whole legitimate movie room. So he knows all of these things.
Right. And that's, you know, that's the way to go with kids. If you desensitize them from that and just you expose them to it, they're not afraid. And that's kind of, I feel like, and I don't know everything. Some people choose to shelter their kids, it's whatever, but I feel like that's the best way to do it for me personally, because my kids have never been afraid of shit.
Right.
Ever.
The horrors of this planet
are worse than the horrors in movies.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is fucking make-believe.
Yeah.
You know, it's not real. You know, and if you let your kids know that, they're not stupid.
And yeah, I have done things, honestly, that I sometimes question. Like, my brother was a heroin addict, and I had him around my kids, and he was crazy. Mm-hmm. He was crazy, you know, all up on drugs, crazy. But I felt like if I exposed them to that, they would see what it was really like. They would see. That's reality, kid. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never shied them from anything. But you know what? My kids are
Their class.
It's hardcore,
it's
you know?
It's hardcore.
It's reality.
Yeah, this is what nowadays, it looks like, fuckers.
You know, it's reality. And my brother died.
You know, but this is how you know kids are not... kids are not dumb, though.
They're not
My kids will see people... My kids will see people act up, you know, kind of crazy, and they're like... And I'm like, probably.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They ain't going to touch those drugs.
No, I don't think. And I don't think my kids ever will.
No.
Because of that.
No, they saw it. They know.
They saw what it was. Yeah. And I didn't shy them from that. No, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Everyone has their own way to raise their kids. But I just think
I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Everybody has somebody in the family that is on drugs. I don't care
everybody.
Who it is.
Everybody. Yep.
No, it's all. I feel like it's always been, because I mean, each generation was an epidemic.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, when I was growing up, I had an auntie. She was a crackhead.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I knew what it was.
Yep. Right. Yeah. But it showed you, right? Like, it showed you, like, that's what
I mean. Me and my cousins used to get a kick out of it. We just look at it like. Crazy, you know, but
it's better than a kid being curious and going out and trying things because they're curious, because they don't know about things. And I feel like that's what happens when you're sheltered. And the only reason why I say that is because I had a friend when I was growing up. Her parents were teachers, and they sheltered the shit out of their kids, like, so bad. And she was crazy curious. And she did every bad thing known to man because she didn't know. And she was super curious about the outside world because her parents were teachers. And they were super, like, square bears. Mm-hmm. And they kept her from everything. And I was like, damn, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's what kind of happens when you shelter them sometimes.
Yeah, I can't call... I mean, I don't like to try to call people names. But
I love it.
I do. Yeah, but I do see your logic, though, because, I mean... You know, with our kids, we talk about everything.
Like,
I mean, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't shelter things. And especially today's climate, really got to explain, you know, things to my kids.
Yeah.
They're going to know every year with certain things.
They come to you with questions. You're like,
Yeah, like, you know, I was at my son's basketball game in fifth grade, and I heard these kids making fun of this girl because, like, they were like, she just went to go get somebody a blowjob. I'm like,
But in fifth grade?
In fifth grade, right? Yeah.
It happened.
It's crazy.
Whoa!
You're like, wait, I wasn't ready for that. Can you back up?
I have a slightly different take on...
comes in a room and she's like...
Now, see, I have a slightly different take on it. I think the cancel culture comes from people trying to shelter their kids from everything. Oh, no, you can't let them hear that. Oh, no, you can't let them see that. See, I don't necessarily agree that the kids who are sheltered are the ones who are going to explore the most. I explored the shit out of life because I had the opportunity to do it.
Who's but the person who says what's fair to say?
I mean, you can't really, I'm not judging anybody or claiming anything. I'm just saying, for me personally, what worked for me was exposing my kids to everything. But that's just what worked for me.
I think, oh, go ahead, Chuck.
I mean, I was a young parent. I mean, I'm 49 years old and I have no children. I mean, my kids are all adults. They're all having kids and saving the world and doing shit. So, I mean, so my, I'm right at that age range where I was a young parent, as opposed to somebody who is like Chase and a few years younger. Now, Chase is like us. So, Chase, you're not in this demographic because you expose, you're all about exposing yourself and your children to things. And that's a good thing. I'm always for exposing yourself to something. However, the most important thing is the fact that the people who are trying to shelter everybody, that's what cancel culture came from. You can't say that. You can't do that. That's not fair. I don't think it's right. Stop letting the fucking inmates run the asylum. Let's actually have some fun for a minute.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's a little
bit. But I think.
I mean, it's a harsh point you made, Chuck, but it's a good point.
I feel like legitimate points of views, no matter whether you agree or don't agree, I mean, a point of view is a point of view, and if it's not legitimate, then you don't need to censor it. I mean, I'm just all about free expression. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I always tell my kids, you can always tell me how you feel. You just better not cuss me out.
Right. Exactly.
If I make a post that says, fuck, I'm going to have 87 people actually comment on my post how inappropriate that is. And I only have 266 friends since I'm rebuilding my Facebook page. Thanks, hackers. But if I walk down the street going, fuck, everybody's going to go the other fucking way.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, it helps them 6'4".
Speaking of that, I'm going to say something that is very going to be extremely controversial right now. Like, extremely. Because I'm a white girl.
Ooh.
I'm super white girl.
You're white?
And my kids make fun of me because I will say the N-word in certain times, in certain situations, especially with a song I'm singing.
Or especially to me, Chase.
Or, you know, whatever.
There are a couple, Chase, by the way. I don't know how much you follow us, but there are a couple.
Okay. Yeah, we're a couple. Yeah.
It's fine. And it's fine. I take it.
No, but I will say it. I'm not afraid to say it. Whereas a lot of white people, they're super terrified to say that word. You can't say it. And my kids will give me a hard time, and they're like, Mom, you cannot say that. And they don't care. Like, I'm singing a song, and I'm just, like, singing. And they're like, you cannot say, Mom, you cannot say that. Say ninja. Say whatever, but don't say that.
Say ninja. They've said that to
and
me.
I always just, you know, I look I'm at them, and the I'm song, like, bro. You know what? The more that, you know, if the more that you tell people they can't say something, the more they want to say it. So the more you're making that word mean something. It's, make it mean less. Just
it's
say
only,
it.
It's
like
only
it mean,
meaning
you
if
stop
you give,
the meaning.
You,
give, stop giving it meaning.
You mentioned George Carlin earlier,
one,
Chase.
Right.
So, one thing growing up that I have had to learn, when people use that against me, hoping to get a reaction out of me, and then looking at them with a smile on my face rather than it didn't bother me,
that
they're
was Aaron,
more mad
yeah.
at me.
Yeah, that was Aaron.
Just, okay, I'm the white guy on the show. I'm going to say it. Yeah. You can call Aaron, I'm going to say it, everybody. You can call Aaron a nigger all day long. You call him Prince, and he's going to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, I lose my shit.
If you're creative about calling him.
I got in a big ass fucking bar brawl with a guy because he called me Prince. Because it was clever, Chase. It was fucking clever.
Was,
I didn't like
he
that.
He was like, he called me the N-word without doing it.
Yeah, that was fucking
that was messed
little
up.
White
that
ass
was clever.
Punk. I was so mad. Call me Prince. I was pissed off. And everybody's like, dude, Prince is cool. I'm like, that's not the fucking point. That's not the point. Dude, I was battling. Yeah.
That's
I'm with you, man.
But,
you know
he,
that,
but the N-word doesn't bother him
no,
all day
and,
long.
And
like,
it's all
call
about
him that. He don't care.
It's all about context. Yeah. You know, like George Carlin used to say, the word is not good or bad. It's the context behind it that makes it good or bad. Why are you saying the word? You know,
yeah.
We don't get mad when Eddie Murphy or Richard Pryor says nigger because they're niggers. That's what was the joke. That's funny. And he's right. He's right.
Yeah, I would love to know what he would say today.
Oh, right? Man. Wouldn't you? Me too. I would love to know what he would say about today.
Dude,
man, George Carlin.
He probably wouldn't tour. He'd be so pissed off about cancel.
No, he would.
He'd be like,
no,
I have nothing to say.
Carlin would. Carlin would.
Honestly, cancel culture is the
Carlin,
worst.
Because before Carlin passed away, he was talking. He really fought that to the day he dropped.
Yes, he did.
Yes, yeah. He did.
He was talking about euphemisms and how it takes away from the original meaning of the meaning.
Yep.
You know, the CIA doesn't kill anybody.
They neutralize them.
Yes,
I get you. Yeah, the soft language. Soft language.
Yep.
It takes the heart out of who we are.
It's interesting, though, to think about how today, how we've progressed, and
we're trying to protect too many people.
It's come to that,
and we're building a bunch of softies.
You know what? And it's a catch-22 because you care. You don't want to hurt people, and I think that's what hangs us all up. Is we don't want to hurt people, but
you're hurting.
Is that
them.
The right way to go about
it's still,
it?
It's still hurting. Is the thing. They just don't.
That's the question. Is that the right way to go about it? Is just to kind of. Wait, smooth it over and not say those words to protect those people?
Well, see, to me, if somebody's being honest about how they feel, I might not necessarily like it, but I respect
right.
a person's honest opinion about something.
Yeah.
Because I disagree with people all the time on social media, but it's like how they articulate their point. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they once might you get have a good to name point, calling but... somebody, yeah. Once you get to name calling somebody yeah. and something like that, it's how you know you lost the argument.
You lost me,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I'm not really tangible to any opinion per se because right. we're all having a different human experience.
Yes, thank you.
And that's why I'm very cautious about really forming to any ideology yes. of anything.
Yeah.
It promotes division.
Right. I'm the same way. Like, I will not say absolutely. I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. That's just division,
I'm a bit of everything. I'm a person. I have different opinions about mm-hmm. things that, you know, I don't, like, I can only have, like, an articulated, conversation about either one of those if right. I feel like the conversation would be mature enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
But to me, it's so, like, aggressive, the word. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you are, and it's like, it's a very gang mentality.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's almost
that's
a cult.
It's
a cult mentality,
yep,
almost.
It is.
And, you know, good for you for being a human. Holy shit, Chase, how about that?
No,
you're a fucking human being.
I mean, I have friends of all shapes of the water. Like, right. I mean, it's And I don't, because, like, if I was religious, then I would frown upon certain people for having their experiences.
Right.
Like,
right.
We're just a product of what we grew up in.
Right.
One thing I realized is that we have so much more in common with people when you right. take away ideology,
yep.
you know, things. And it's like, that's why I love talking movies, because we're all like
it's such a commonality.
People coming together. Yeah, it's a commonality, and that's one place we can co.
Yeah.
Besides the person, I'm gonna be stupid.
We're all that race shit, that politics, that bullshit, that religion, all that shit don't really matter because it's a movie.
Yeah, because we're not getting to the root of the problem of who we are as people. Like,
right.
You know, like, what are you about? So most of the time when I hear, you know, something going towards, you know, religion or politics and stuff, I leave because it's not really a coherent conversation from much of that point. You know, we're people.
We are people.
You know,
and you respect everyone's opinion. Everyone has one, and you respect.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like everyone has their own different way, but we've all. I don't want to openly go into a conversation
about what we don't agree on.
Right. Right.
Exactly. Why do I like that so much?
Exactly, because it's the best way.
I love doing it.
I don't know why you. Aaron likes that kind of argument.
Because I want to see how far they'll go. I want to see what they got. What do you got then? I mean, I know why I am who I am. What do you got? Let's see what you got. And let's see how far they'll fucking take it. And sooner or later, we'll see who wins. And more times than not, they don't go the whole way. They got nothing. And I'm like, huh. Did you learn anything?
Man, like,
and they don't learn anything. You know what? I'm like, figures, because I knew I wouldn't. I knew it was a waste of my time, but why is it still fun? I don't know why I do it.
It's terrible.
See, I'm the kind of person, I can have a conversation about something I'm really passionate about and be in a very calm manner as long, you know, like, but if the conversation gets to the point where it's starting, I would just get up and walk away. I tend to like to talk about like things that makes a person, like, why do you like that? You know, what makes you? It's kind of like Heath Ledger said when he said that, you know, people ask if you're married, people ask if you have a job, but one thing they don't tend to ever ask you is, are you happy as a person?
Right.
That
makes you really think, right?
You know,
like, that makes you really think.
This is we haven't even talked about any of your movies.
We were supposed to talk about that, but this has been a great conversation.
But this is movie related too. So, there was a moment, Chase, when I reached out to you because you were going through something on set, and we don't have to talk about the situation you went on. I know that there was some drama in one of the movie sets you were on, and it made me start thinking about, like, isn't it weird that we've got two people. Let's say you and I, Chuck. I have my personal look at the situation, right? And then
it's a little sideways, but yes.
And you have it. You have one too. You have one too, right? So then you've got these two people that are in a conflict because they see this thing differently, right? And then you've got somebody who goes out and says it and badmouths the other person because of their situation. And then you have
although
to defend
they have
yourself.
No clue what happened.
Right. And then you have to defend your position, right? Because they did it. But I think people seem to forget. And they always say there's two sides to every story. Yes, there are. But here's the thing. I always, no, always, great. Always fucking believe one person fucking started something. It's always one. One person said something, did something, was inappropriate about something, but they just don't know. They don't understand that they were. Because they're too naive.
If you don't start nothing, there won't be nothing.
Yeah, because that person has never had anybody stand up to him before and say something back to them. So they think it's a norm, right?
I think it's more. It
drives
more
me nuts.
Stupid than that. I think it's a lot more to
elaborate.
Than that.
Elaborate.
There's not two sides. There's three. There's okay. The truth and perception
okay,
of
yeah.
How a person sees it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the villain doesn't think they're the villain, right?
Oh, correct. Absolutely like, not.
Sometimes I don't think I'm wrong right then and there, mm-hmm. But then there's
later.
A time of perception comes later where I realize I could have definitely handled that.
You take accountability. Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Chase,
I,
answer
for
me
instance,
this. Oh. Do you like being someone who is open or not in a box and is open to other people's opinions? So let's just say
exactly.
Like scenario wise, like someone, you know, you're arguing with someone, you don't agree with them, but they're giving you their point and they're making sense. Do you, and you being the person, because I can tell you are, that would listen to that and actually be like, oh, like, there's a point there.
Oh, absolutely. Because,
but being that person,
yeah.
Being that
because
person makes
our
you.
Whole life,
yeah.
Our whole life is merely perception.
Right,
however you
right.
Want to look at it.
Yep.
I might look at something completely different.
Yeah.
And a person might articulate, you like, I never looked at it from that perspective.
Right. There's a lot
but
to be said
like,
about being one of those
like,
people that's able to hear that.
Six plus 3 is 9. 4 plus 5 is 9. Both of them are two different answers.
Right.
But one is right. But it's not just one way.
Yeah.
And yeah. That being said, is I have to look at things and present like of, although they might not have said it just the way I said it, they still doesn't mean they don't make a point.
Right,
and,
right.
But me, as a person, I've been wrong many times.
Me too.
But I'm the kind of person, once I learn that I'm wrong,
yeah.
I try to definitely remove the ego out of the situation.
But you being willing to hear, you being willing to listen to someone else's point to the fact where you will be like, oh, maybe I am wrong.
No.
Is like something that not everyone has that.
We're perfect. We're perfect lawyers for our own doings.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but Chase already said it though. When they're spitting gibberish, he leaves. So he's not going to sit there and listen to bullshit.
True,
and that's my point. That's my fucking point.
But when someone's making a point is what I'm saying.
Well, it depends on what the point is, though.
But everyone has a point because everyone
they
has
do,
a life.
But sometimes there's crazy points that make zero sense. I'm
okay,
not wasting my time.
You're crazy. That's someone else is normal.
I know,
I'm
but
saying.
That's the fight. That's the battle.
See, that's another thing is, too, I don't really believe in a term of normal. We're
right.
It's 7.
Because you watch Tombstone and you listen to fucking Doc Holliday.
What is that common anomaly? You know, like when people say "act your age," and it's like, I just turned this age. How do I know what it's like? Like, you know, like
yeah.
I don't know
how to do this. It's new.
You know, and it's like that. Being said, I don't know.
So the bottom line is there's individuality in people. And that's what's important. And I think everyone's individuality makes them who they are. And that's what's cool about this world, is that everyone is different. And if you explore that, or you're open to that, or you're willing to listen to that, you're going to be a better person.
But
you're
going to
learn shit. I've learned...
That's a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
set, though,
kind of, but I've
a
learned...
A lot of times when people are who they are, in whatever century or whatever time you were born, that can also be a curse. But for instance... If you was a lady in the 1800s and you said what you said, they will burn you as a witch.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and that ain't right.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, it's very hard to be your authentic individual self, because that's why a lot of times people, they tend to flock in crowds, and they outcast people who are the loners or different.
Yeah.
They go with the trend.
Yeah, it's very hard to be yourself.
But I think that's stupid, and I think there's a way that we could all stop that.
It's actually funny.
I really do.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Sophia got me wrapped into going back into watching American Horror Story. I don't know if you guys have ever been a fan of
American
Horror Story.
Yeah.
That's a good show. So I went back, and I was just watching 1984. And it's funny, even though it looked like a good thing. There's the part in 1984 where somebody, they show the newspaper clipping of Richard Ramirez. He's in the store, and then all the locals are chasing him down the street, and they catch him, and they beat the shit out of him, and he gets arrested. The problem is that's the exact mob mentality that we have on social media, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what it was.
We get the same mob mentality when you get a whole bunch of people together who kind of think the same way. When one person's talking louder, that everybody just follows suit.
Well,
that's the part that throws my brain off. She would have been burned as a witch 120 years ago. If you guys were talking this much, you wouldn't be doing much better.
Yeah,
it sucks.
go back to George Carlin. What did he say?
He
loves people. He loves people. He can't stand groups of them.
Right.
That was this thing, and cool. That's exactly his point.
And that's kind of the thing.
People as individuals. Yeah. I don't like people as a group.
I don't like, because they go against others.
Yeah.
Other people.
Yeah. And that's that mentality. The Republicans. That's the fucking Democrats. That's the fucking church people. When you get them all together, something changes.
Well,
but individually, he could sit there and talk to one of them and be just fine.
Yeah,
and that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
It's because once you have a crowd or a group of people that agrees with you or believes in what you believe in, it's easier to stand up that and go against people. But the thing is, honestly, like, is it really worth it to go against one person about how they feel? Like, when we all feel fucking different, that's what's dumb to me.
That's the thing. It takes a really strong personality. That was the one reason I married my wife is... She probably has the most, the strongest personality of a person I've ever met. My wife, if she thinks it and she really believes it, she's going to express herself. And that's where for better or for worse, I can say she's definitely my best friend because I know that she won't lie to me.
Right.
For example, I went all out on a Christmas present, and it wasn't something. She tried it, and she learned to like it, but she's not going to lie.
Wait, who stuck their head in? Tell them to come here.
That was my wife.
Oh, come here. You know what? Come in here, girl.
Come here. If you're playing peekaboo, we get to meet you.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Nice greetings to see and salutations. You. It's very nice to meet you.
Very
nice
to meet
you.
Good to see you.
Yeah. I told him I didn't like it.
I know, we're taking up all the time, I know that.
Then she heard my feelings on Christmas, then she came in crying. I'm sorry.
What did you get her?
Yeah, we're dying to know what you got her.
What'd you get her?
I got her an outfit from Victoria's Secret.
Oh.
And no, but
and
what
she
happened?
Mobs
like,
off.
How'd it go down?
It's like, he did. Bye.
She got comfortable with it, you know?
I got comfortable with it eventually, but...
Did you realize he bought... Were you angry because he bought him... Wait, I've got to ask you. Were you angry because you realized he bought himself a present?
But if I don't call her beautiful, then I don't think she's beautiful. Then if I say she's beautiful, I must not mean it.
Chase, you have a perfect wife.
Wait, I'll say it again because he wanted to overtalk me because he didn't want to hear the answer. Were you angry because basically buying you something nice from Victoria's Secrets was buying himself a present?
Oh, because it is, right?
Because he thought you would look good in it and he likes the way you look.
Oh, I see where you're going. Like if he got her a blender.
That's actually a good point.
Or a toaster or something. Yeah, I get it.
I mean, a blender could be good too because you can make something
good. I didn't like it because, it was a...
You can say whatever you want. This is not a family friendly, and everybody likes the show.
This is our show. Just say it.
It was
at your comfort level.
A belly shirt, and I don't really wear belly shirts.
Gotcha.
And I guess he wanted me to wear it. I don't know.
So I thought he would like it.
It showed off your midriff, and it wasn't something that turned you on.
The thing, here's the thing.
Go ahead, mansplain it away.
And my kids say the same thing. With her, she don't spend a lot of time talking about what she does like. I hear mostly of what she
doesn't like. Right? That's me.
Understandable.
I get it.
Yeah. Very true. That's actually very true.
Might I ask you a personal question? Would you prefer a tankini? You know, a tankini covers everything down.
We all have to know the answer now.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Would you prefer a tankini? They sell those at Victoria's Secret too.
The question's been asked. Is that bad? Would that be better than a midriff?
I just hooked you up for Mother's Day.
Gotcha.
What's really weird is that Chuck understands. Chuck's got the whole fucking wardrobe of Victoria's Secrets down. Like, how the fuck do you know that?
Aaron doesn't know none of that.
I don't know
shit.
Any of that shit. I'm too busy making fucking movies. What the fuck?
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Nice meeting you, hon.
Yes.
Like, jeez.
You're awesome.
Thanks.
Right here.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
He's a good
yeah, we talked about things I was not prepared to talk about in my mind.
Right? No.
No, you won't be canceled.
We killed him with all the worst questions.
On Around the Reel, he won't be canceled. Everybody
no.
will. Say
no one's going to cancel you.
Sure about that?
Absolutely.
No, I
absolutely.
Anyone who cancels you doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
You never know with him. That's the thing. You never just know what's going to come out of his mouth. Wait till you get him started on his impressions. Because he can
We heard his Schwarzenegger.
See, I had started a new conversation.
I did the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did it very well. He did
he
it very well.
He does a lot. He can do a lot of them.
Well, because I was talking about how that StreamYard app. Remember when I told you I walked in and they were like, I went into a chat and they were doing like a orgy thing?
Oh, yeah. Like, he told us about that right off the bat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like,
did you forget?
She's like, but why are you talking about it again?
Different term, because I don't remember you saying
no, I was like, I still don't know what it was.
What is your name? I'm sorry. I didn't get your name. I'm sorry.
Samantha. I don't know.
That's Miss Samantha Dudley.
What?
Samantha. Yep. Same name as you, oh, Sam.
Word. I forgot to say her name, Samantha.
Yeah.
Oh, my really? Name is Samantha. Yeah.
AKA Boo Boo Kitty Fuck.
It is a thing.
Do you like to be called Sam too?
No words needed, right?
Right.
Yes, she likes it. She prefers Sam.
Yeah, I do Sam. Yeah.
See, I think of Sam from Ghost. I like Sam Elliott, so I'm like, I'm gonna call another woman Sam.
Well, see, this is what happened. My brother got together with another Samantha, and she's Samantha. So I am Sam. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, when I was growing up, my sister, Sammy Whammy.
Oh, I get Sammy Whammy, too. Or like Sam I Am. God. All that shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know you know what I'm talking about.
What did I always say?
Best name, though.
Did I say Sam I Am?
Sam I Am, Sammy Whammy.
Awesome. Hey, Chuck, you know what? Chase is in a sandwich right now.
Uh-oh!
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is in a sandwich.
Welcome to the StreamYard chat room.
Yeah,
tonight,
yeah.
What's going on
Chase,
in here?
Between two Sams.
I wonder if they were, like, even, taken by it that I left the chat. You know, like, anything.
I know, like, where did it, what happened?
All right, so okay.
Samantha, it was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Samantha.
Take care, darling. Thank you so much.
See you guys later.
But before we leave, let's talk something about the movies that Chase makes.
Yes.
Yeah, let's at least.
Give him the mic, Chase. Please take the mic so we can get the show and give
your
evening back
because we never got there.
What's going on with you with movies, buddy? What are you doing?
Well, right now we are doing in the middle of a crowdfunding for Blood on the Bleachers, which is a 90s throwback slasher inspired by Scream, which I spent about 10 minutes on of why it's my favorite horror movie ever. And but of course it has its own tropes and amazing plot, but it's just one of those movies I wanted to show because I realized out of all the movies I have made, I have never done a slasher film. And I'm pretty shocked.
Is this a full length? Is it full length?
Well, yeah, because when I first started out, like, I was trying to do different movies that everyone wasn't making.
Yeah.
And so I basically, everybody goes towards the wave. I was running from it. But then I see why it's important to follow a trend.
Yeah.
But, like, when I decided I really wanted to do this slasher, I didn't know that the 90s era horror films are it's all back coming back. So I'm like, this is perfect timing because I was going to do this movie regardless because I just could not believe. I was on a podcast and I was about to name a horror film. I'm like, I've never done a horror film. It was shocking to me. It was like, I was Bruce Willis and this was the end of Sixth Sense and I did not realize. But I was like, I really got to change that. But because I always loved horror, I just never done one because almost everybody in the indie world is doing that. Right. I really wanted to try to be authentic and different, but I still can be that and make the horror movie I want to make.
Goddamn right.
You sure can.
Yeah.
And you are, and you stand out. And I think that's why we kind of like gravitated towards you and wanted you on this show, because you're definitely different in this world and this indie world and this creative world and everything, and that's important. Honestly, like, no one's gonna notice you if you're not different.
Yeah, you gotta be an individual, so we talked about earlier.
Yeah, that about I'm definitely you. An individual. Yeah. That's why I don't do well in groups. I don't conform. I've always done my own thing, and I never, you know, like when I make a movie, I go home. I don't go to parties. I don't, you know, drink or anything with co-stars or anything. I go home to my family, and, you know, spend time with my kids. And, you know, I'll go to film events and stuff like that. And I'll do like the nighttime, I just go home to my family, you know.
That's what proves the point that you're into your craft.
Yep.
And that's
the point.
You know, and that is the point. That's what matters, and that's what stands out. Yeah. So I think that's cool about you, Chase. That's okay. We got to end this, wrap this up anyway.
Yeah.
But thank you for your time. It was seriously great. And
we had a lot of conversations.
But it's been a blast. Like, we got to, like, when are we going to do the next one?
But at least you know that, like, you got a lot from me. Because, of course, usually I'm kind of really kind of self-aware of, like, I'm not going to take that bait, but I feel like this was a conversation I really feel like that needs to happen more. I'm not afraid of conversations. I love intellectual conversations, and we're just, you know, like, kind of live in such a funny thing where somebody probably will listen to this whole thing and pick apart things that I said and like, he loves so much.
Most of our listeners, actually, to surprise you, most of our listeners are actually, they get it.
They're, we've got good.
No, yeah, I figured. Again, I wasn't even thinking about it. That's the point I was telling you.
When we started this show,
it's a conversation.
Yes.
It's a conversation. I like conversations. And like you said, words. Like, I can't believe the things that people love have power over them.
Me neither.
So much more than that, man. And Aaron, it seems like we grew up in a very similar climate. Like, I see like a lot of similarities between us. That's pretty cool.
I was trying not to get into it too much because I didn't want to talk about myself.
I was trying not to let it happen because I knew once you two guys started.
Yeah, if we talk, you and I.
Because you guys are so much alike. Like, seriously, like, he's the same. I mean, you guys are the same nerd.
You grew up on movies.
I gathered that quickly at the top. But I really, if I must be honest, I really seen similarities to all three of you, all of things that I've seen. And it's just the kind of the friend, you know, like, so, I mean, I didn't have very friendships very long because I was always gravitating to being who I was, and I just didn't have time to be a good friend, I guess, because, I mean, I wouldn't say that because, like, the things they wanted to do was just the conformal drink and
it's like, I
was trying to be in my right state of mind. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane? Is that kind of
it wasn't
similar,
fun.
Like,
partying and going out and getting fucked up is not fun.
Never.
But going home and watching a movie that you're excited about sounds fucking fun, right?
Yeah, because as soon as I watch something and it gets that, like, Scream 2.
Look at it. That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
That was me.
You ain't alone. You ain't alone.
You're not alone. You ain't at all. You and Aaron are like,
hey, man,
and then you're
like, hey man, come on, let's party. No man, I'm so busy.
I got to rearrange my sock drawer. Then you're putting on the fucking movie.
I've always
was really in tune, and like people who check on me now, they're like, man, I knew you were going to do movies because that's all you were talking about you were doing. And I definitely want to be one of those crazy people where I say I'm going to do something, and then 20, 30 years later, I'm still saying I'm going to do that something that I was talking about 20, 30 years ago. And then, like, because so, some people were, not to be rude, like, they say it, and I know they're not going to do it. And I'm like, yep. That you are.
Yeah. I know we're about to wrap this up. I'm gonna pee my pants, so I'm gonna say something real quick, and I'm gonna dip on you guys, and then you guys can end the show.
We'll close the show.
But you know what, Chase? We saw something in you like a long time ago, and that's why we kind of wanted you on our show, because you're definitely our kind of people. Just because you're authentic and you're unique and you do your thing and you don't give a shit what other people really think. Yep. And we think amazing because that's where we're at.
Very narcissistic.
You know what? You can't worry about it. You can't
worry about it.
And so respect for you, and thank you for finally being on our show. Oh,
no, thank you for having me on. And again, super fun. We are in such a narcissistic climate of,
honestly.
Of artists that it's crazy of some of the things that my wife and I hear about ourselves that apparently that I didn't even know about myself.
You tell me about it.
Hey, I'll say it. You don't have to say it.
No.
You want to say hi?
Aww. Hi.
What's
Who
up,
is
baby?
This?
What's up, baby?
Say hi.
Hey, baby.
Say hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie.
Look at you.
Just sweetest.
No, just because there's a baby on the screen, Sam might actually sit here and piss her
pants. I know, like all pee my pants.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna I'll have to go change her fucking diaper.
No, stop. How old are you?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Say I will be
two
in 5 days.
Oh my goodness. We have a 2-year old here too.
Big. I love his shirt.
Oh my god, when he was born he was 10 pounds and 6 ounces.
Oh my goodness, a big old
and
baby.
He was a big baby.
You got a truck? You got a truck?
He's got his truck.
Oh my god, no, he has a school bus.
And oh, is it bus?
I tell you what, if he does not have that school bus in his hand,
let me see your
when he's asleep. Oh, you were handing me a school bus? Are you handing me a car? Show him your school bus.
Let
Show
me see your bus. Can I see your bus?
You love it.
Can I see your bus?
He's getting shy now.
Can I see your bus?
Let me see your bus.
Show him your bus.
I'm really done.
Show him your bus. Show him your school bus.
I really want off this podcast.
Shut up. I can't. Oh, wow, look at that. That's cool.
Say the wheels on the bus go round and round.
That's so cool.
We're wrapping up. All right.
Thank you for showing me your best.
Nice to meet you, little guy.
If you're not going to get off the show, here, take the kid.
Well, ours is about trains, so it's all about trains for ours.
It's not yours. It's your grandchild. It's different.
That's my grandchild.
All right. Well, Chuck.
Cool bus, man. Cool bus.
Let's close the show out, Chuck, so my man can go and deal with it.
All right, Chase, thank you so much for joining us down around.
Thank you for hanging out for an
afternoon of conversations of drinking, hanging out, and talking about everything but fucking movies that we made. The good thing is we didn't really talk about ourselves, and you didn't get to talk about yourself. However, we did talk about everything social and what's wrong in the world and the way people treat each other. Now, you and Aaron have a lot in common. I'm not going to say that just because of your skin tone. It's because of the way you guys grew up. But the most important thing to remember is that we're all doing something to be creative. And that no matter what I say, nobody is paying attention to the fucking word coming out of my mouth because that baby is too fucking cute. So the important thing, everybody, is to remember to think hard because you think anyway. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
See everybody later.
The wheels on the bus go round and round. For those of you that want to be a guest on Around the Reel, please email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
Not Messenger. Do not message Aaron on Messenger, because then he has to send you a message that says email Sam at aroundthereel253@gmail.com.
That's aroundthereel253@gmail.com. How come they can't just message me again? Because nobody wants to fucking talk to you. Can anybody reach out that's an artist, filmmaker, actor?
If you're an artist of any kind, we want to hear from you.
But we are going to vet the crap out of you.
We don't care if you make millions of dollars in Hollywood or if you're just beginning your career in the art industry. We don't care. So everybody that wants to be on Around the Reel, yes, we want you.
That's AroundTheReel253@gmail.com. This week's episode is brought to you by Entrepreneur Swag Shop. As business owners, it's important that we create the right environment and surround ourselves with the right people and the right things to keep you focused and motivated.
Entrepreneur Swag Shop offers clothing and accessories designed to empower entrepreneurs to share their message, their beliefs, and their journey with the world. Through inspiration and identity, the powerful messages printed on the items will help align you with who you want to be and what you want to achieve.
Whether you are new or experienced, male or female, young or old, you'll absolutely find a message that resonates with you. Visit EntrepreneurSwagShop.com and use code AROUNDTHEREAL during checkout to get 10% off your order today.
Get that swag, people.